Father, thank you for your word today. And oh, what an amazing, amazing journey it's been, Father. What an amazing realm you've given us. What an amazing place. Help me, Father, speak your words today, not mine, yours. Let them hear from you. Open the ears today. Open the eyes. Open the heart, Father. In your wonderful and mighty name, Jesus. Amen and amen. Now, we began last week. Let's go to one of our theme verses for the last 6 months to begin with, Colossians chapter 3. Now, last week, we got into very heavily the balance of a crucified life and why that was necessary. But this week, I want to major more on the resurrection. But wherever you see resurrection and what the resurrection is, wherever you see resurrection, you're going to see crucifixion. And there's a reason and purpose for that. But I went into that heavy last week. So we got the sword and the winnowing fork and the baptism of fire. You know, all of those good things, tests, trials, furnace of affliction, all those wonderful things that make everybody dance and shout and jump up and down and say, hallelujah, crucify me some more. Hallelujah. Glory. But the fact of the matter, it's there. It's the Bible. It's everywhere. But at the same time, right next to it, I'm going to show you, is resurrection. So it's not just about being crucified, walk around. It's about being raised with him. The only reason he allows the other is so you don't get distracted from his purpose. Amen. You'll understand that in a minute. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, that's a very real place. You were raised into a very real realm. It's just not a natural realm. It's not part of the earth's jurisdiction you were born and trained in. Maybe you might have been trained in religion for 20 or 30 years and never heard that there's a realm that you have a right to live in. That's beyond this earth's jurisdiction. Everyone say, I am a dual citizen, whether I know it or not. You will know it today. Glory to God. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. And then if you didn't know what the above meant, where? Everyone say, where? Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. You know, religion has a hard time with that verse. I can imagine so, because religion never gets you out of the box. You know what I mean? Your box, that's the nature of religion, boxes you. But God never will box you. Seek those things that are above where Christ sitteth. He wouldn't tell you to seek something that you didn't have availability to be. Set your affections on things that are above, not on things on the earth. Wow. Wow. Everyone say, wow. Or you can go, wow, dude. For you are dead. You're not dead like dead, you think dead. But there is a part of you that's dead. I need to show you the dead part, but more importantly today, I want to show you the alive part. For your life is hidden with Christ, and you can put in the Father. Your true life, I tell you, I'm in such intercession when I'm with the Father now. I'll tell you, intercessors, when you get into the love of the Father, it's very easy to pray for people. It's very easy to pour your life because his love is so compelling. It's so easy to pray in that place. And one of the things I'm pouring my heart out, it's so easy to do it. So, because his love's so amazing. You want to share it with others. That's the nature of it. And so you're praying out of that love and in that love, which I've never prayed in before like that. Never. I never got high enough to pray in it. I always prayed from this jurisdiction. You can pray and God answers prayers from this jurisdiction. Thank God. He answers them a lot better from that one. He said, you're dead. Your life is hidden with Christ in the Father. God wants the nations to come into the Father and experience that life. Amen. Now let's look at that "you are dead" part for a minute. Go just back up to chapter 2, verse 10. You are complete in Him. You got that right. That's more than a word, my friend. That's more than just a verse. There is a total and utter completion in Him. You know, I used to hear that verse. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Now notice he said, come unto me. He didn't say, I'll come to you and give you rest. I'll take your yoke upon and you can, I'll give you my yoke and your burden will be light. He didn't say that. He said, come unto me. You got to make the journey to Him. That's more than just sitting on your knees and saying, Father, take my yoke. I give you my yoke. I want your yoke that is easy and your burden is light. I come to you. No, you got to make your journey into where He was speaking of. He said, he that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that cometh to me shall never thirst. And I used to have a big problem. I said, I'm always hungry. I'm not talking about natural hunger, spiritual. I'm always spiritually thirsty. Where is this that I'll never hunger and I'll never thirst? Where's that place at? I'm always hungry. How many of you know? You're hungry for God and you can't reach Him, you know, and you just starve. Ah. You got that hunger and thirst, but you don't know how to quench it. And I'm like, well, where is that? I know where that's at now. And He will quench it. Most of the time you'll have to tell Him to stop. When you get in there with Him, where He is, listen, the heavenlies, we got to get out of our mind. The heavenlies is the spectacular realm with the lightnings and thunders of God. There is lightning and thunders, but I'm going to tell you what God is way more interested in right now than you seeing angels and having encounters. I'm telling you what He's interested more than even right now, because I've been talking to Him a lot about demonstration, because I know there's great power in the right hand of God. Incredible power. And I've been talking to Him. I said, God, this world needs to see the demonstration. You know what He's more interested in? Love. But it's not your kind of love. You know, you can look at 1 Corinthians 13 love. It says, though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. You mean you can operate in the height of human love? See, I can give all my goods to feed the poor and not possess His love. So don't always think because we have a certain thing that we think we know what He's talking about. It's a love that's not of this world. It's a peace that passeth all understanding that's not of this world. My peace I give to you is not of your world system, but I give it to you. These places are in Him. We got to learn to be in Him. That's the mark. You will know, mark the perfect man, behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. You know, you're coming into the God kind of peace. I'm not talking about praying and laying on the floor and getting real nice and quiet. That's just rest. That's when your body gets rested. A lot of times we check out right there. You know, we go before the Lord and, you know, have you ever had the 5-minute time with the Lord? You know, you lay down there and, oh, I feel so rested. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. I've given you my quiet time today. Yes, Father. Your whole time in your quiet time, your mind has already gone into your day. Anybody ever had your quiet time with the Lord? If you have the quiet time in the first place, your mind's either serving yesterday's problem or it's gone in and starting fixing the day. The whole time you're there in body, your other part, you're checked out. That's not what God's looking for. But if we don't know how to connect with Him, then that's what we get. We get things like that because we don't know how to make the connection. God is a spiritual being. He does not live in this jurisdiction. He lives in His jurisdiction. He'll come and visit you in this one. But don't expect Him to set up shop here. He comes to visit you, to invite you to come and live in His. And He gave you an invitation and a passport. You have a passport. Not a passport, you're made a citizen. That's why he said, you're dead to this jurisdiction. Now let's look at this. You're complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, Colossians 2:11. In whom you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. Every male was circumcised the eighth day of Israel at 8 days old. But the true circumcision, that was a foreshadowing of the true circumcision, that you were born in another race. You inherited something from Adam. When you had a natural birth in this world, your spirit, man, inherited something that was given to you from Adam. And it was called the law of sin and death. All had sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. By one man, sin entered into the world, and death passed upon all men. So you were born naturally that way. Now what God did was remarkable, because he came in and he cut out that old man with a knife. Amen? I'm gonna speed this up a little bit because I want to get some places. This is how he did it, verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, say with him, wherein also you were risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who raised him from the dead. My mind wasn't buried, I still got it. My body wasn't buried, still got it. But there was a part of you that was buried, the real you, the old man, which has now become the new man. That old man, when he went to the cross and died, when he was buried, he wasn't doing that for his benefit. There was a part of you that went with him, and he buried that. See, when you call on his name, that old man goes into the cross, and it's buried into hell. The devil gets it. He gets your old man. Praise God, let him have it. Because the same faith that the Holy Spirit brought the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, he brought a brand new law that was purchased for you on the cross. The Holy Spirit took that law down there, he recreated him and raised him out and sat him on the right hand of God by the faith of the operation, but he sat you right there too. He didn't leave you or your spirit. Your new man was a new creature. Not just to park at the gate of salvation, but he raised you all the way in resurrection life and sat you there positionally. You may never get there in this earth if you don't know how to get there, but it still was positional. In fact, he finished it. Then he began. He said, I finished you. I set you with me. Now climb the mountain. Climb up to where you are, who you are. Live in what I've called you. You're not a part of a dead fallen race anymore. You're not going to find life in that system. But I come to give you life and life more abundantly. It's in me. It's in the Father. And I'm reconciling the world to the Father through me. See, he says, he was reconciling. What does that mean? Well, I was reconciled to the cross so I can sit in the gate of salvation. No! You were reconciled, he said, the Father, to wit, was reconciling the world to himself through the Son. He didn't say, I was reconciling the world to the gate of salvation so they could sit there and be a natural earth creature the rest of their life. No, he raised you all the way into him. Say, all the way. I am a dual citizen. Go to Romans chapter 6. You see, buried with baptism, raised to the faith. Don't stay buried. The only one supposed to be buried is the old man. Who wants to live there? No, I want to learn how to be raised into glory. He gave us access to glory, access to love, access to peace. It's not of this world. You hang out with him long enough, you'll get his favor. You know, we just want his hand of blessing. He loves to bless. What father doesn't love to bless their kids? My kids know how to get for me what they want in a heartbeat. I already know they done went through Anna. They probably went through Dissy. They didn't get it, and they come to me. And I know my daughter, she starts buttering me up. I said, oh, what's going on? What do you want? I already know, but I'm just more than happy. I'll say, well, you know, when I get them, Carson's at night on Thursdays, I started catching. He said, can I ride home with you, Daddy? I'm like, yeah, he wants to ride home with me. On the way out, you know, he waits. He's pretty smart. He goes, Daddy, turn right. Let's go that way. He goes, take a left. And then the Dairy Queen's starting to show up. So he sees that Dairy Queen. He said, Dad, can we go to Dairy Queen? I'm like, sure. Then next week he goes, can I ride home with you, Daddy? And I'm thinking, Daddy, take a right. Go left. Can we go to Dairy Queen? Now when he asked me, I already know. I said, we're not going to Dairy Queen. I already got your number. But I will. And I take him. I said, y'all want a coat? Because Mama don't like having Coke. I said, don't tell Mama, I'll give you a Coke. I said, just remember who's giving you the Dr. Peppers and the Cokes. Right here. Supersize them. They all go tell her anyway. The God will give that to you. He loves you like that. But he wants your whole life thinking you're going to find something in that. I mean, you ever bought a house just thinking, oh, glory to God, and God likes homes. I like homes. But you can't find life in your house after a while. I don't care how many times you redo your garden. Redo it again. Plant new flowers. Put new furniture. Paint those walls. It's still a house. After a while, it's going to wear out. So if you're always in the more syndrome, you're looking for something. And God likes to have goodly houses. But your fullness and completion is going to be in Him. So we got to find out how to get to Him. It's not as hard as you think. But it does require stepping out of this jurisdiction. The only way you're going to do that is by faith. Faith in who He said you are and what you said. You're going to have to practice that because it doesn't come natural. You were born in this jurisdiction. So that's what you're accustomed to. But you have a right to live in the other one. All right? Well, glory. Romans 6. This is awesome. Line of verses here, when you understand what they're saying. Shaka. Romans 6, verse 3. I have so far to go, Lord. No, you not. I know a lot of this from last week, but I'm trying to get to the other side, the resurrection. No, you not. That so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ. We're baptized into His death. Well, isn't that good news? When the Bible speaks of death, if you don't understand what He's saying, you're thinking dying. He died. You died with Him because there was a part of you, your spirit, soul, and body. You understand that. Your three-part being. Your spirit part of you is an eternal being. It fills your natural body fits over your spiritual body like a glove. Do you know you got a spiritual finger? Oh, brother, you're losing it now. Go to Luke chapter 16. No, don't go there. I'm just telling you, when you go home, it said that, you know, the Lazarus and the rich man, it said they both died. Lazarus went into Abraham's bosom. The rich man went into hell. Abraham's bosom was a holding tank until Jesus paid the price. God held them there as a nice, comfortable place. In fact, the God in hell could see over. He said, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue because I'm tormented in these flames. I just want to drop. Where were their bodies? 6 feet under. What kind of finger did they have? What kind of tongue did they have? Do you have a spiritual tongue? Some use that tongue more than others, but it's still there. Praise God. You have fingers. You have emotions. Your body wasn't there, but your spirit, man, your body's like a glove. But that spiritual man's born with a substance. When he was born on the earth, he was born with what was called the law of sin and death. That law, that man could not inherit the realms of glory. So what God did, Jesus came as a man. He took that man and he buried. When he did, your old man went down there with him. That means you were buried with Him. But that's not who we are anymore. Shaka. No, you're not. So many of us were baptized into Jesus. We're baptized into his death. That's what that means. Our old man was baptized into that death. Therefore, you are buried with him by baptism into death, but that like Christ was raised from the dead. Nobody has a problem with him being raised from the dead. Just you being raised from the dead is the problem. We need the whole church to be raised from the dead again. He raised us from the dead so we could be dead? No. That's why the devil likes religion, because he quenches the life. He doesn't want you to know that you inherited his place. You know, he was the anointed cherub that covered before his fall. He was actually a worship leader in heaven, all the pipes and tabrets within him. He was an archangel along the lines of Gabriel and Michael. He drew a third of the angels away with him. You know, before he held a place of glory, and God said, on your belly shall you go, dust you shall eat. I could get in that revelation, but it'll take me too long. He's not kind of, you know, weaving through the dust like a snake, you know. He was confined to an operation of less than you. Do you remember when that angel that slew 185,000 Assyrians? One angel, he had that kind of power. And God couldn't let him roam around on the earth with you in it. So he dethroned him from that power and put him into an operation of dust below you. In other words, he can't just come and kill you because he wants to. He may make you think he can. But he has to raise somebody else to do it. A demonic possession has to get into somebody like a Hitler to destroy a civilization, but he can't just come and wipe you out. He was confounded. See, God de-exalted him. But at the same time, you were dust, right? God formed man out of the dust. And at the time of your fall, God immediately put a plan of salvation to raise you from dust to glory, while he was taking him from glory to dust. Hallelujah. See that man right there? See the substance of that man? See that flesh suit? This man didn't look like that. He had a different nature. But when God raised him with the nature, he just didn't raise him to sit in salvation. It's that man now, the new creation, 2 Corinthians 5, the new creature, the dual citizen that has a right to enter into glory. It has a right to be with the Father. It has a right to be in his presence. Amen? Yeah. All right? Stay with me. Got to keep hammering. Wherein you're also risen with him. That's Colossians. Verse 4. Therefore, you're buried with him in baptism, as like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. Even so, we should walk in newness of life. Newness of life, that life's not of the earth, it's from the heavens. You walk in it because you get fed it. That man has the capacity to contain the life of the Father. The old man did not. That was good. Verse 5, if you have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. If he planted you in death, he resurrected you. Where did he resurrect you? He certainly didn't bring you out of hell to set you on the earth and said, now act like any other flesh creature in the world. You think he did all that so he could just be a normal breed of people? He resurrected us all the way to where he was. Ephesians 2:6. I was raised together with him, and I was made to sit down together with him in heavenly places. Colossians says, you are dead to the world. He buried that old man. Your life is hidden with Christ in the Father, raised you all the way up into glory. You're not come to a mountain. Hebrews 13. You can touch with your hands. That's not how you're going to touch God anymore. But you come to Mount Zion, the innumerable company of angels, the spirits of just men made perfect. You're not a sinner walking around the earth saved by grace. You're a new creation. Well, how come he says all his sin and fallen short of the glory? Well, I'm glad you asked that. Paul was making an argument to the Jews because they thought because they were God's spokesperson that they were somehow born with a different nature than anybody else was born with. In Romans 5, he said, you're born with the same nature that the Gentiles, but you're judging the Gentiles, those swine-eating Gentiles, because they're somehow getting on your inheritance. You've been working through the law all your life, but the law couldn't make you righteous. It couldn't change your nature. He said, it couldn't change your nature. You keeping it for a lifetime, you still had a dead nature. And so, but then the Gentile, he gets born again, and he does by the new nature the things contained in the law, which is a law unto themselves. And but you're judging him because you've not followed over the way he followed over. You're judging him. He said, look, all had sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There was none righteous. He was making his argument. God had the whole world. And he gave the law and asked everyone to keep it, knowing they couldn't keep it, so he could judge everybody guilty. Nobody could live before it. And when he judged everyone, Jew and Gentile alike, guilty, Romans 3, then he laid the guilt upon one man and he buried it all. And then when he did, he raised, he says, by making one new man, see, the two becoming one. Making one new man, he raised us into glory, see. You are not a sinner saved by grace. All had sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That was a fallen race of people. That's not who you are. It's who you were. Verse 5, we've been planted together in the likeness of his death. We'll also be in the likeness of his resurrection. See the death, the burial, and the resurrection. There was burial, but there's resurrection. It's your faith that taps that resurrection. It's your faith that can reach into that because he said it. And that's what causes you to launch into the right hand. That's what launches you out of this jurisdiction. You're going to have to learn to get up out of this jurisdiction. Your body will stay here. Your flesh does not inherit the kingdom, but your spirit has the access to that kingdom. Well, I'm still not a believer. Well, hang on. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. That's the reservoir. That's the old man, law of sin and death. That henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead was freed from the sin in his nature. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. Look at verse 10. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto the Father. You've got access to the Father through resurrection. You have the faith can tap into the resurrection. This is how he said, raise the dead. We're going to see a lot more of the dead being raised when we start learning more about the resurrection and tapping into it. The resurrection life is always flowing. It's called the law of the spirit of life in Christ. Have I lost you? Y'all with me? Staying with me? All right. Go over to Philippians for a minute. I got in this very heavy, so I'm not going to get in this too heavy. Look at verse 13, Philippians 3, 13. I'm skipping a lot. This is a great, great, great chapter. Is it warm in here or just me? Why even ask? Says that I may know him. Wait, 13. Oh, yeah. Oh, well, I got to get in that one. 10, 8. Verse 9, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Now, Paul's identifying with that resurrection, but he was also identifying with that crucifixion. He goes, being made conformable to the death, but also raised in resurrection. See, Paul knew how to live in the heavenlies with the Father. That was his mystery that he brought to the church. It's in every book. All right. He says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Paul was trying to attain the blessing of Enoch and Elijah. He's in the Tullian Keep at the end of his life. It's the Roman sewer system. He's about to give his life. In fact, chapter 1, he says, I'm straight in between the two. I want to depart now, but to stay here is more needful for you. But I'm torn. I want to go. I'm ready to go home. See, in chapter 1, he said, I'm ready to go home, but to stay here is more needful. He goes, but he's trying to obtain. He's so living in resurrection life. He's wanting to obtain the resurrection of his body like Enoch did. He was and he was not. Like Elijah did, taken up. That's what Paul wanted to obtain. That's what he wanted. You know, you can identify so much in resurrection because you're living in glory. You're living in the realms of glory. The only thing that was restraining him was that body. It was the only thing keeping him there. He didn't mind dying the natural death. Didn't care, but he actually wanted to see that resurrection. Of that body. Incredible. Incredible. We have a lot to learn, my friends. And the church at large is not teaching us who we are. All they are is making us nice Christians in the earth. And that was not God's plan. For you just to be a nice little person running around. You are a new creation, anointed by the power of the Holy Spirit. You have a right to live and express the realms of the glory. You are not just called to be contained here in a natural life. You are a whole lot more than that. And please don't get to heaven to find that out. When you walk into heaven and you find out what all you could have been and had access to and said, well, I wasn't taught that. Now you're being taught it. Amen. Now watch this. Not as though already attained, we're already perfect. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things that lie behind, I reach. Now look at verse 18. For many walk, of whom I've told you often, and now tell you weeping, they're enemies of the cross, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. He says their God is their belly. He's talking about their God is their carnal appetite. They just live for the carnal appetites of the world. They mind earthly things. They never came into the fullness. Now watch what he says. Amazing. Verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven. Y'all see that? That word conversation, it's the only Greek word used like this. Conversation usually means behavior. But in this sense, it's the only one. It's a totally separate Greek word. And it means citizenship. It's the only time it's used like this. Our citizenship is in heaven. Everyone say, my citizenship is in heaven. How many of you ever tasted that realm? You know, we can't, how would I say this? During Martin Luther's day, it was hard to even find salvation. You know, until he nailed the 99 theses upon the wall. It was hard to find justification by faith. They were buying salvation through indulgences. You know, they hid the Bible, locked it away in monasteries. You know, nobody could see it. You weren't holy enough to read the Bible, you know. God's done a whole lot since then. I mean, he restored the offices. The last office to be restored is the apostolic. He's brought the baptism of the Holy Spirit back in the 1900s. He's been doing so much restoration, but now he's ready to reveal. He's got the church ready to reveal who they are, who truly they are. that you're a breed of people, a new creation, that you have the law of the Spirit of life abiding in you. You have access and citizenship into the heavenlies to be with the Father, to be and then to come and express His glory into the earth. See, that's who we are. That's what we're going to do. That's where we're coming. Right now, God's teaching us access. You know me, I'm always wanting Him to do a whole lot more than He's ready to do. I'm always ahead of Him a little bit. But that kind of hunger is what gets you to Him, you know. But I've learned to temper it because He can get you a lot of trouble, too. Now, listen. So when I'm coming in there, I'm seeing the power in the right hand. I know the power of God's in there. I'm talking about the power that's going to transform this world. It's going to get the attention of the world. The church is powerless. They're not going to get the attention of the world right now. God never intended us to preach a gospel that's word only. Even Jesus Himself said in John chapter 10, if you can't hear the words that I say to you, He goes, I come in my Father's name. I of myself can do nothing. He could have, but He did not take that role. He was sent as an ambassador of the Father with a message from the Father that I want to reconcile the world through the Son. If you honor the Son, you honor me. I'll open the door for you to come to me through Him by way of the cross. That was His message. But they couldn't hear Him. They could not hear Him. They struggled. You read the book of John all the way through. They're struggling. And finally, He says in chapter 10, He said, look, if you can't hear what I say to you that's from the Father, then believe the works. For they testify, because no man can do such things. Believe the works that you may believe that I was sent from Him. God's going to raise another breed again. Now we're coming in His name with the same message that God is reconciling the world, the Father, to Himself. And He's going to give us the demonstration to prove it. Mark my words. And I'm not talking about the little trinkles of God. I'm talking about mass scale demonstration. The ones that are in the hospitals right now. You don't think God cares about them? You don't think He didn't come to set those free? He said, He told me something blew me away yesterday when I was caught up with Him. He said, you know who the greatest disciples are going to be in this last generation? Are the ones that are hidden away right now with broken little bodies and broken minds that are imprisoned by birth to infirmity, that don't get to live the freedoms you live in. He goes, those are the ones I'm going to come and I'm going to set those free. And I won't have to worry about whether they'll give my love, their love to me on Sunday morning, whether they feel like coming to church and not feeling. They will give their life freely. You won't even have to ask it of them. They'll lay it down all the way. He goes, those are the ones that will represent me. He said, they're the prize, son. But you can't go to them if you don't have anything. So the Father backs us like that. You can pray for them all day long. But there's a time the Father's going to back it. He says, we come in His name. And He's the one that's going to do this. And when He sets you free, He's going to anoint you to set others free. Those kind, they don't struggle whether they love the world or not. You set somebody that's been in their body, locked down in their body for 20 years in a wheelchair, and they start walking around, their mind gets unlocked. And they start living the freedoms that we've enjoyed from birth. They will run for God, blazing speed. It's the ones I want. I'm going to go here. I've got a little bit, about 10 minutes. I'm going to let y'all out early today. David. Father, bless him. Glory to God. Go to John. I haven't been over here with you. I want to come back here. Let me show you where you're being raised. 12, real quick. I'll run it through. Verse 26, 25. He that loveth his life shall lose it. Do you know what that means? Everyone said, I got to lay down my life, lay down my life. Listen, you lost your life when you gave it to him. That's when you lost it. It got buried. Except the corn of wheat, the verse preceded, except the corn of wheat fall on the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it fall on the ground and die, it beareth much fruit. He that loveth his life will lose it, but he that hateth his life for my sake, when you give your life to him, he buries your old life. You lose it right there. He makes you a brand new person. Anyway, thank you for your amens on that. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world will keep it. See, if you like your life, he that hateth his life in this world, see, if you love your life, you're going to keep it here. But if you lose your life in him, he's going to bury it in baptism. Anyway, moving right along. If any man, verse 26, serve me, let him follow me, that where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man will serve me in what I'm talking about, him my Father will honor. So what do you think about? Well, okay, I'll serve you, Lord. I will follow. You know, where you go, I go. What you say, I say. God, get a little more contemporary on you. What you pray, I pray. So we say, okay, Father, I serve you. I'll follow you where you go. Well, that's not what the following he was talking about right there. He said, if any man serve me, let him follow me. Notice he goes, if any man serve me, I'll come and be with you where you are. He didn't say that. We want God to come and be with us where we are. How many of you, you know, we've been trained like that? Come. Come to us, Lord. Come to us. Come to us. Come to us. He said, if any man serve me, let him follow me. That where I am, because he's going somewhere. See, he came from the bosom of the Father in chapter 1, or the heart of the Father. He came out of fellowship and came into the earth as a man. Now, how many times he says from chapter 13 to chapter 17, I go to the Father, I go to the Father, I go to the Father, I go 13 times he says it in 4 or 5 chapters. I go to the Father, I go to the Father. See, I'm leaving. But if any man serve me, you're going to have to follow me to him. Okay? Now, that's the first time. Now, that's the first, that where I am, say where I am, there shall you be also. Let's find out where he is. Go to chapter 14 real quick. We were doing this 6 months ago. Praise God. It's nice to rehearse it. This is the book of John right here. The whole revelation of John is amazing. Verse 33. Little children. John 13, 33. Get it back up a little bit. Little children, yet a little while I'm with you. You will seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, where I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you, love one another. Now, he told the Jews in chapter 7 and 8, where I go, you can't come. But in chapter 12, he said, if any man serve me, let him follow me, that where I am, there you may be also. He said, they can't come, but you can. They could have came. But if you'll meditate that out, they wanted to kill him for the 5 chapters. They wanted to stone him, kill him, anything away. And he finally comes to the point, look, where I'm going, you can't even come because you cannot believe the Father sent me. And that's his prerequisite, that you believe he sent me and you've rejected me to the point you want to kill me. So therefore, you can't come. Now, his disciples is telling him, you can come. All right? You're going to learn something here in the next 10 minutes if you really listen. Bible school won't give you this, I don't think, at this point. All right? Boy, I feel his glory. Verse 36, Simon Peter, he likes this message right here, I can tell you right now. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? They're in the upper room here. Do you understand? They're in the upper room. Now, if you look at verse 29, this is when Judas, 13:29, says some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus said to him, buy those things we have need of against the feast, that he should give some to eat. But then, having received the sop, went immediately out that night. Now, God didn't start really talking until he got the devil out of the room. So what he said to 11 disciples. 11 men caught this, but really only one wrote about it. He's the only one, because he laid his head on the breast of the Lord and caught the revelation of the Father. John caught it. Now listen to what he says here. Quiet in this Presbyterian church now. Verse 36. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, where are you going? You keep talking about the Jews couldn't come. You told us we can come. Where are you going? Jesus said, where I go, you can't follow me right now, Peter. But afterwards, you will follow me. Knowing Peter, I'm going to follow you now, bless God. That's what zeal will do for you. I'm going now. I'm going the first time. Really? That's what he said. Peter said, Lord, why can't I follow? He goes, where I go, you can't follow me. He goes, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Oh, really? Before the night's over, you'll deny me three times. Peter, but then again, you can't follow me the first round. I'm going by way of the cross. And no man can go that way but me alone. I'm going to have to bear the iniquity of the world before I come back and get you to be with me where I am. Now follow this real close. Real close. This is awesome. This is your resurrection. Should have preached this on Easter. Now look at this. Verse 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Chapter 14, verse 1. Don't be troubled. You believe in God. They were Jews. He goes, now believe in me. In my Father's house, there are many Mediterranean mansions, European mansions, traditional mansions, 10,000 square foot mansions, 20,000 square foot mansion, 40,000 square foot mansion. There are mansions, but that's not what he's talking about here. He says there are many dwelling places. That word mansions mean dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a room for you. Just stay with me for a minute. You're right there. You can hear me now. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You can't come now because you have a nature that cannot inherit my Father's kingdom. And my Father no longer wants an earthly tabernacle. The earth is his footstool. He wants you with him. But there's a part of you that can't inherit that, but I'm going to go fix that for you. I'm going to go by way of the cross, and I'm going to come back and get you. And when I come back and get you, I'm going to bring you where I've been with the Father for all eternity, and I'm going to bring you there while you live on the earth. Ready? And where I go, and the way you know, didn't Thomas say? Thank God for Peter. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? I'm just determined to be a better disciple than Thomas was. And Jesus said to him, I am the way. I am the truth, and I am the life. No man cometh, in case you want to know where I'm going, unto the Father, but by me. That's where I'm bringing you, to him. Now I understand why that was such a special place. Because when you actually start getting this place, you start getting introduced to his love. And it is, you'll lose your life in it. It's so beautiful. Words cannot do it justice. I wish they could. The only thing that's really going to do that justice is power. Because if you can get enough power to get people's attention, maybe they'll run to him so he can show them his love. But it's really all about his love. Just amazing. All right? I'm closing now. Nobody amen in here. I'm hearing no amen in. No amen in now. Here's what you say when I'm closing. Oh, man. Yeah, that's what you say. That's what I want to hear. All right? Now, what did he say in John 12? That they may be with me where I am, there shall my servant be. John 14, that where I am, there shall my servant be. Now watch it again. Verse 24. John 17, Father, I will. This is the third time he says where I am. Actually, he told it to the Jews, but he said where I am, you can't come. In 7 and 8. Yeah, and they have a whole right to come. Those particular guys couldn't come. It's going to be hard to approach God when you're trying to kill him, you know. Father, I will. They also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Why? That they may behold. The word behold means to experience by visitation. Say experience by visitation. My glory, which thou hast given me from the foundation of the world. For you loved me from the foundation of the world. Now watch this. John chapter 1, he comes from the bosom of the Father. He's telling his disciples, I go back to the Father. I go to the Father, I go to the Father, I go to the Father about 11, 12 times from John 13 to 17. And he's telling them the last prayer. He said, Father, I will. Now, in this prayer, he's already in his spirit going through the cross. He's back in the seat with the Father because he's saying, Father, I will. They be with me where I am with you. My glory you've given me as the firstborn to be here in your presence, in heavenly places, seated with you in Mount Zion. I will they now be with me, Father, where I am. That was the message of the cross. I come and get you as dust, and I raise you all the way to glory, so you can love them with all the love you've loved me with. Watch this. Get this, God Almighty. Look at verse 26. I have declared unto them thy name. I will declare it, that the love wherewith you have loved me may be in them and I in them. All the love, Father, you've loved me, the Son, with, I'm going to now bring them to where you are, where I am, because they're going to be in me. Get this. They're going to be in me. And all the love you love me with, you love them with. That my joy might be fulfilled in them. That wasn't just having a cup of joy. The joy was being with the Father. And if you're not with the Father, you can't hardly know that joy. It's very hard to know the incredible awesomeness of being. He's so neat. He's amazing. You marvel when you're in there. Whether you marvel. You'll marvel a whole lot more at his love than you will his presence. I marvel at his presence, but when you get in his love, it'll just... And all the joy that's in Christ of being loved of the Father, he freely gives to you. That's where you were resurrected. Let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Jude, he presents you faultless before his glory. Colossians chapter 2, he presents you unblameable, holy, and unreproachable to the Father. Hebrews chapter 10, you are forever perfected. That new man, when you're approaching the Father, the reason why the Father does not deny you, because Jesus is presenting you in Him faultless. You'll never be denied access to the Father because your flesh is not going up there. Your spirit is. He presents you blameless. So if you ever, when you're going in that approach and you feel your shame or whatever and said, no, Jesus, you present me faultless. You present me unblameable, unreproachable, holy. You present me as a forever perfected being, a new creation that's born of your DNA. I have a right to be with the Father because your blood purchased that right for me. I have a right to be loved. And your faith, if you'll keep going, will go right up into the glory. And you're going to start walking around here and said, oh my God, His love is so awesome. Yeah.